Choir, I have heard that anthem more times than I can count, but I've never heard it so beautifully and with such inspiration as you just sang it. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord our God, you offer to us an abundance beyond all our comprehension and understanding, an abundance that even we don't know that we need. And so, of your mercy and grace, we are beneficiaries beyond compare. Shower us with your great gifts, we pray, this day, until our hearts are opened and changed and moved and breathe with the same goodness that you breathe into us through Jesus Christ. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus taught with parables. He told stories filled with divine perspective. He painted word masterpieces that are treasures of light and love. Here's a modern parable, a parable about Jim. Saturday morning at 4 a.m. That's when my Uncle Leo would pick me up with my cousins Kevin and Jim half asleep in the back seat of the car. We were on our way to Gillespie Lake to go fishing. And sometimes on those Saturday mornings, we even caught enough bluegill and crappie to have a fish fry that evening. Those were good times. And now they're great memories. Well, fishing didn't stick for my cousin Kevin and me, but it was a lifetime love affair for my cousin Jim. His most prized possessions were his Ranger bass boat and his top-of-the-line Ford F-150 that he used to pull it. And that love affair began when my uncle took the three of us fishing on Gillespie Lake. Well, as it turned out, fishing would be the only good memory of his father that Jim would hold on to. You see, one day, not so very long after Jim and his new bride had settled into their modest house that they could barely afford, Jim's parents stopped by. They handed Jim a thick brown envelope. And inside that envelope, there was an itemized statement of every penny that they'd ever spent on him since the day he was born. Can you imagine? Can you imagine parents keeping a record of the cost of providing for and raising a child? Can you imagine a father and a mother so mercenary that they turn the pricelessness of their son into a dollars and cents total at the bottom of a ledger? Well, I don't need to imagine. My uncle and my aunt came. came to collect in full that day. Jim was stunned. There was no way that he could pay. And after that day, his parents never spoke to him again. Not once. The parable that Jesus tells this day is a parable about a slave. A slave who owed his king 10,000 talents. 10,000. Like Jim, this slave could not pay. There was no way. So the king ordered for that slave and his family and all of his possessions to be sold. That's the way the debt would be settled. Now, friends, 10,000 talents is a lot of money, even for people who have a lot of money. Let me help you understand. In Jesus' day, a denarius, one denarius, was one day's wage for the common worker. And 300 denarii was the annual income for that common worker. Take away one day a week or so, and that's what you get. 300 denarii, the annual income of a common worker. Now, in Illinois, the median individual annual income is, anybody have a guess? Individual annual income median in Illinois is? Who said 30,000? All right, you're absolutely correct. $30,000 is the median annual individual income in Illinois. Do the math. That means that a denarius is worth $100. There are 5,000 denarii in one talent. A talent is $500,000, $500,000. And at the median individual annual income, that's about 16.7 years. Remember, the slave in this story owed his king 10,000 talents. 10,000. 10,000 talents, 50 million denarii, at 300 denarii per year, it would only take this slave 167,000 years to pay off his debt. Well, that slave pleaded with his king, and his king forgave him his debt, all 10,000 talents. He canceled what that slave owed him. But then, just as soon as he had been set free from his debt to the king, the slave went out on the street and met up with another slave who happened to owe him 100 denarii, $10,000, wages for a third of a year. So that slave grabbed his debtor by the throat, and he demanded that he be paid. The slave pleaded with him, but he refused. And he had him thrown into prison. Well, the king heard about what had just happened on the street.
He heard about his slave's hard heart. And so the king withdrew his mercy. He took it back. And then he had that slave thrown into prison. And then he ordered that that slave be tortured until he would pay his debt in full. Debt. That's a word we pray in this church and in many others each time we pray the Lord's Prayer. And we use that prayer in this church a lot, in worship, at meetings. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or, as some others pray it, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We know that prayer as well as we know our own names. And we say it very often. Yet we may forget that the forgiveness that that prayer prays for and that we pray for when we pray it is about money and property. You see, what Jesus was praying for when he gave us this prayer, what he was really praying for was the coming of the year of Jubilee, the 50th year in Israel, when all debts would be canceled, all property redistributed, all inequities wiped away. As Isaiah says it in the 40th chapter, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill made low. The year of Jubilee. Debts forgiven. That means, friends, that the spirituality of forgiveness in Jesus' prayer is very physical and earthy and specific. For Jesus, mercy isn't mercy if we don't express it in what we do with our money, with our property, with our possessions. Yes, with our debts and our trespasses. At the outset of his parable, Jesus tells us straight up that the king is God. And the slave who owed the king 10,000 talents, well, he's you and me. But there's good news today. The good news is that God's providence and care for us are so abundant that we can never pay for them. Yet God does not send us a bill collector to make us pay. God sends us a compassionate Savior to forgive our debt, every last penny. As we'll soon sing it, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be." What that means is that grace is God's heartbeat. It means that mercy is God's strategy. And it means that forgiveness is God's destiny for you and me. A destiny where we are bound to God and reconciled to one another by God's love. But there's just one hitch. And Jesus tells us that in the story that he spins for us this morning. That hitch is this: we cannot be bound to God and reconciled to one another if we don't respond to the mercy and the grace God gives us with mercy and grace for others. In other words, being forgiven means being forgiving. And so that's why the king condemns the slave he forgave to prison and to torture, because he didn't give back the mercy and the grace he had received. One more parable. This parable is a parable, a modern one, about Molly. Friday, 2 days ago, was St. Patrick's Day. It was also the 15th anniversary of the day my mother died. Last week in the sermon, I told you how much she loved her house and how she and my dad built that house with their own two hands. Well, the lot that they built that house on is a lot that they bought from Molly and Vincent, who were our next-door neighbors and who were great friends. At least they were great friends until a dispute arose about the property line between our two homes. One Saturday afternoon in 1970, that dispute got so heated that the neighbors called the police. After that day, we never spoke again. We never trespassed on the other's property again. Never. My dad died. Vincent died. My mother died. Without a word being exchanged between next door neighbors. As we were cleaning out my mother's house, I suddenly felt an irresistible urge to go next door. We went up to Molly's door and rang the bell. Molly opened that door, and then we threw our arms around each other, moved to tears by remorse and affection and forgiveness. Yes, after 42 years, 42 years, mercy prevailed. And that day, I felt the power of these words in all their fullness. Streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. My cousin Jim died last November. He died miserable and alone. Because, you see, he repeated the sins of his parents with his children. In a parable and a prayer, Jesus teaches us that real forgiveness is more than words and deeper than emotions. Forgiveness begins when we restore the justice of property and release the burden of debt. When we forgive our debtors, because God has forgiven all our debts. But forgiveness is fulfilled when the humanity of our relationships is restored by the gracious mercy of God's love. Yes, streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Loudest praise. Loudest praise. Amen.